Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good evening and welcome to another lockdown episode of Avenger Radio, your home of all things Avondale FC, coming to you live from the virtual studio on Football Nation Radio, FNR. My name is Branton Gibson. I am joined by FNR's Josh Parrish. Good evening, Josh. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, look, as well as it can be going, it is continuing to go, Branson. Obviously, yes. Some very disappointing news early in the week that we're going to get into, but hope everybody out there is staying safe and keeping sane. And, you know, hopefully we'll be out of this in no time.
Yeah, absolutely. This is going to be a big show. Lots to talk about. Obviously, some very big news that we're going to get to as well regarding the future of the 2021 season. Josh, let's not muck about, mate. Let's get straight into it. The big news coming out from Football Victoria last week was, of course, that the 2021 season was going to be cancelled. It was not going to go ahead. And this is all the way from MPL 1 in the senior men's competition all the way down to Metro and community leagues. It includes masters, women's, mini rouge, juniors, everything. The whole season is being cancelled. So, Josh, of course, that means we, unfortunately, it looks like we're not going to get back out on the pitch in the 2021 season. And to be honest, mate, I was super surprised when this news came out. It took me by surprise, caught me off guard. What was your initial reaction, mate?
I wasn't so much surprised as a bit saddened by it because I had held out perhaps naive hope of some sort of summer competition taking place in order to finish the season off in some sort of more satisfying way. And the fact that the whole thing is null and voided is very disappointing for all the teams who are in contention for promotion or silverware all the way down the pyramid, not just Avondale. So obviously it's really sad, but it's a chance to reflect on the campaign that was, even though it was shorter than it should have been. There's still a lot of great moments to remember and treasure from this season, and a lot for Avondale in particular to be very, very proud of across the entire club. So we'll get into that a bit with Sam later, and I'll give a few of my thoughts on the decision as well. But I think it's important now more than ever to acknowledge the sponsors of the club and just how much they've put in when you've got the uncertainty of the season being cancelled and, you know, the club not generating the kind of match day revenue that you usually would. It's, I'm sure, a great relief for the club to have such steadfast contributors who will obviously step in if anything needs doing. And there's lots of plans for the off season as well, which I'm sure they'll contribute to.
Yeah, absolutely, Josh. You touched on a couple of main things there. Coming up later on, we will be joined by Avondale General Manager Sam Watson as well. He'll give us an update. He'll give us all the latest news coming out of FV as well. And, mate, as you mentioned, we do want to give a big shout-out to all our sponsors, especially our major partners, UCS, Clover, Goldfields, and Indeco. This week's episode of Avenger Radio is brought to us by our major partners, UCS. UCS Group is one of Australia's leading urban development utility network service companies, efficiently connecting new developments to the electricity grid and NBN telecommunications network. UCS have been fantastic supporters of the club for a number of years, not just 2021. It goes back a while. They've shown some fantastic support. For more information on UCS, visit ucs.com.au. Josh, I just want to touch again on the official news that came out of FV. We'll go over the facts. That's all we've really got to go off for. We've got a little bit of hope of some sort of return to football action this year. But the facts coming out of FV with the announcement last week was essentially the entire season is cancelled, as you said, mate. Everything null and void. No relegation, no promotion. Critically for Avondale, from a senior women's point of view, we were in a promotion fight, so unfortunately that is off the table. For our senior men's team, who were on top of the table, there are no premiers, champions or runners-up names, so that's you know, a really disappointing blow there. There's no best and fairest either. No Golden Boot Award, of course. Stefan Valentini was on top of the Golden Boot race for our senior men's team. There is no final series as well. So that is the official word coming out of Football Victoria based on their statement last week. We do have some cause for optimism. We'll talk about it later on. There are, you know, hopes that the FFA Cup will still be able to go ahead. Football Australia have been very steadfast in their commitment to that tournament going ahead. So hopefully our clash against Devonport Strikers, it has been postponed for now, but hopefully we'll be able to do that as well. And Josh, I've heard as well that the Doherty Cup final, might go ahead as a standalone fixture as well in the future. So hopefully that can take place, mate.
Well, I look at the examples abroad of what's happened in these circumstances, and in Spain, they actually played the final of the Copa del Rey the year after. So there was some debate as to whether players who weren't registered at the time should be allowed to play in it. Obviously, that's a complicating factor. But once you're down to the final of a competition, there is no reason to scrap it or call it off. That match could be played at any time in my books and still be equally valid as the Doherty Cup final, because the two teams, Avondale and Hume City, have obviously worked so hard and deserved to get there and a chance to play for such a historic competition. So regardless of what happens with lockdowns and so forth for even the rest of this year, I see no reason why that game wouldn't be played at some point.
Absolutely. Even if it goes ahead as like a community shield style curtain raiser, you know, first game of the season. Yep. It's the first time, of course, that Avondale have qualified for the Doherty Cup final. A historic tournament, over 100 years old. First time we've ever qualified for it. Our first chance at winning some top flight silverware as well. Hopefully we still get that opportunity to come, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's actually a great idea. If it has to be that long, then, you know, we don't have a title holder or a cup winner to play the Community Shield. So, you know, that it could definitely serve that purpose if we do indeed have to wait that long for the game, which hopefully we won't.
Yeah, fingers crossed as well. Josh, we are going to talk to Sam Watson very, very soon. But I think the biggest thing, you know, we're talking about our initial reaction. I was surprised just because everything we were hearing from Football Victoria was so positive. Of course, the COVID situation, everyone's safety, that is the number one priority. So I totally understand why this decision was made, even if it is, you know, frustrating and disappointing and just unfortunate. You know, the club feels, especially for the players, not just at a senior level, but all the juniors too, from the under 21s all the way down to the mini roos and the under 8s, everything in between, and particularly for those lower age groups, mate. They didn't get to take the field in 2020. Earlier in the year on Avenger Radio, we were talking to some of our junior girls players, and they were saying they'd been hit by lockdowns and buys this year. And, you know, over the course of 8 fixtured weeks, they'd only played like 2 or 3 games. So it's really unfortunate for the players, the coaches, the parents, everyone who's put in, you know, such hard work this year as well, after the disappointment of 2020, to get back on the pitch, to have that sort of stop-start momentum, I guess, with the lockdowns in between, mate. It's very unfortunate. So we do just want to thank all the players, all the coaches, all the parents, everyone involved with the club, sponsors, everyone who likes us on social media, everyone who is a part of the Avondale community for their support this year. And hopefully, mate, we'll be back next year, you know, just as strong, if not stronger.
Yeah, look, I honestly can't imagine, you know, back when I was 12, 13, 14, when, you know, football on the weekend was like the only thing that mattered to me. I can't imagine losing nearly two whole seasons. It's just really quite tragic, and I just hope some of the kids don't lose interest in the sport when, you know, it doesn't seem like there's a future for it. But there is, and I know the club are working really hard on trying to provide some sort of year-round junior football to kind of make up for lost time, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. But Josh, we have got Sam Watson, Club General Manager, ready, waiting to come on. We're going to take a very, very quick break. But when we come back, Sam Watson is going to be joining us live to provide us the latest news direct from Football Victoria. So stay with us right after this break.
We'll
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Avenger Radio. My name is Branson. I'm here in the virtual studio with FNR's Josh Parrish talking all things Avondale FC. Joining us now is club general manager Sam Watson. Good evening, Sam. How's it going, mate?
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Well, thank you. I actually thought you were going to introduce me as club legend then. I got very excited and slightly preemptive of my tender here. And then obviously you went through the correct name of club general manager. Part of me, I must admit, slightly died. But yeah, all good. I'm well.
Certainly show legend based on appearance numbers.
Well, I mean, club legend as well. It could happen. We're not ruling it out. You know, it's down the track. Could still happen.
Absolutely. Maybe it's a bit of a show today. I think we can talk a bit about what has happened, but then also what is coming. And maybe that's a foresight into my future.
Well, so in terms of appearances, you're certainly the Jeff Fleming of Avenger Radio.
Absolutely. Sam, we've got you on the show tonight, mate. The big thing to talk about is, of course, the 2021 season. We got word from FV or Football Victoria last week announced that the whole season was being cancelled from the NPL all the way through to the lower levels, community leagues from seniors to juniors. Obviously, that's very disappointing news, you know, that the season isn't continuing and that we won't get back on the pitch again in 2021. What can you tell us from a club point of view, and what can you tell us from what you've heard from Football Victoria as well?
Oh, look, we, as Avondale, the club, we're very disappointed. I think from top down, I think both our senior teams were performing very well, and both were looking at championships and promotion, I think both realistically in their aspirations, right down to excellent performances from the juniors, and also too on the junior front, just participation. Like, this is the second year in a row now we've had a shortened season for our juniors, and you need to feel for the coaches, the players, the parents, everyone that's put so much time and effort into this season with so much hope after last year, and to have sort of the rug pulled out from under our feet is really disappointing. But look, I think us as a club will reset from here. We'll now focus on 22. Avondale themselves will be putting out an official statement, and we're currently already planning what more can we do? What more can we offer, in particular our juniors, to try and fill in a gap that has unfortunately been created for the 2021 season.
Sam, what can you tell us about the decision-making process from FV as well? Because prior to the announcement, it seemed like they were saying all the right things in terms of wanting to get back on the pitch. Things seemed optimistic, and then unfortunately we got the news that the season was cancelled, but it seemed to sort of come pretty quickly. Do you know much about why that changed?
Look, I much like everyone else, was quite surprised by the decision. Everything that I had read from Football Victoria leading up to the decision had indicated that Football Victoria was going to do everything in their power to have a season this year. There'd been conversations about extending through to even November. I know that Football Victoria had been talking to Cricket Victoria about ground usages. I know Moonee Valley City Council, our city council, had been in conversations with both those bodies about ground usages. So everyone was talking about how can football continue. And that is why this decision is so surprising, because it just really sort of came out of nowhere, with everything leading up to it indicating that we would fight for the season to continue.
Sam, what are the barriers to having the season extended into summer? I mean, obviously there's some shared grounds and so forth. What do you think stood in the way of Football Victoria and the whole competition just holding off and deciding, you know, to have a summer league essentially to finish the season? Or was that there just no appetite amongst the clubs?
I can't speak on behalf of the other clubs as to what they want or did not want.
Mm.
However, I just know that there's been so many great ideas, such as summer leagues, such as playing at a club where all the teams play back-to-back-to-back games, that of clubs that do have grounds in case a club had to hand their grounds over to cricket. So there's been so many creative ideas that I've been told of that people have suggested how this season could happen and how we could have something, whether it's sort of play the season, no finals, whether it was have finals from now and whoever's in the top six, that's the finals situation, just to ensure that we do get games in. Because as I said, it's not just the senior men and women who are looking for promotion and championships respectively. It's just also getting games into our kids. This is sort of a generation of players now that their football development has been greatly hampered because they've missed almost 2 years of proper competitive football. And it's not just the competition, it's also the training. I must admit I'm trying to do my best at practicing my skills in my very reduced backyard. And I can only imagine how growing boys and girls are doing their best as well, whilst parents are homeschooling, etc. So, look, I think, I think there's so many factors that indicated that we should at least have a try and try right up until we ran out of time. And that's why I think this decision is just so surprising, because the decision was made so early in the piece. Like, we sort of still have 2.5 months until the that end of November timeline that was originally communicated to us.
Sam, what sort of impact does this decision have on the club?
Look, I think initially everyone's going to feel a bit disappointed and a bit flat. But at the same time, I think this is a great challenge that's been put to Avondale, and we will bounce back stronger. I think this is presenting us with a chance to say, hey, we know what worked this year. We know where we can improve, and we're going to jump on it to make improvements to 22 this early in the piece. As I said, there's been discussions already about what more can we try and offer our members and our players and our parents and our coaches this year to try and form some sort of bridge, that it won't be the same, but at least there is benefit there of being associated with our brand. And then obviously we move on to 22, and what a great motivation there will be for every single member and player and coach in 2022. Of for our seniors, it's going to be, we're going to win. We're going to win again. Where unfortunately we got beaten by not the opposition, but we got beaten by a decision. Use that as inspiration for next year. And for our junior players, again, what great inspiration that we can use to say, hey, you're still here. You're still fighting for your love of the sport. And this is this is your year to shine. So, look, we'll bounce back stronger. But as I said, I think still there's a lot of disappointment around, because as I said, the decision was a surprise, I think, for a lot of us. I know personally weren't prepared for that announcement on Friday.
What are some of the strides off the park that the club's going to look to make while we can't play any football and everything's shut down? What kind of plans can the club make to continue the ongoing kind of improvements to infrastructure and to Avenger Park as well?
So on the infrastructure side of things, we're currently putting up plans, putting through applications of improving Avenger Park. So where our seniors play, we're looking at improving the lights and improving change rooms there. So again, they're positive steps forward. And if we are able to make those changes, it puts us in a really good position to host a high quality game, not necessarily for the players, but for the spectators and members as well. So that's going to be one major project over the off season. I know we've currently got conversations to try and get more access to grounds over summer, so we are able to do more activity for our members and try and have all our members playing at the similar facilities. So we've got plans and conversations, as I said, with both our Avenger Park site and also our sites in the Moonee Valley City Council. And that will also complement trying to have more activity for our members and run more participation initiatives as well.
Sam, what about the near-term future? We have heard with the FFA Cup, they've come out and said that they are committed to the season going ahead. Of course, our clash against Devonport Strikers has been postponed. I've also seen on social media discussions about the Doherty Cup final as a standalone event maybe going ahead. Have you got any news on whether both or either one of those games might take place in the near future?
Exactly as you've said, Football Australia are very keen to go ahead with the FFA Cup. Now, what exactly that looks like, I don't think they know yet. I can't remember what stage we are with qualifiers around other states. I think, did WA and SA get their qualifiers in?
All the qualifiers are done, and I believe next week Queensland are going ahead with their initial round of 32 games as well. So it's definitely starting at least.
I think Football Australia are really keen to push this through, and I think you'll see as states are starting to get more, or at least other states are able to play community sport, and then hopefully Victoria and New South Wales will play catch up. When that date is for our game, I don't know. I imagine it's going to be probably in line with state government regulations, but could well be that we're playing a Christmas FFA Cup, which will be a great treat for everyone. What that means for coaching, what that means for our players, the conditioning, the fitness, Avondale will make sure it happens, and we'll do our absolute best to put our players in the great physical shape that they can be.
Well, if Christmas FFA Cup action happens and Jonathan Germano doesn't whip out the Santa hat again, I will be hugely disappointed. So I'm crossing my fingers for that. Sam, amidst all the disappointment, there's a lot to be proud of at Avondale this season. When you look back on this, what are you most proud of in terms of the club's achievements on and off the park?
Oh, look, where do you start? I mean, there's so many great things that we were able to do this year, and I think that's probably a great credit to the people at the club. Obviously, last year was such a disappointment, and I think that disappointment was used as a positive energy for a lot of our people this year. I mean, just looking at our senior men and women, as I said, the senior women were definitely in a strong position for promotion this year. Our senior men were top of the table, Doherty Cup final, FFA Cup game, and performing amazingly. And then even you look down the scale, there are so many good stories. Some of them we've been recently sharing from our juniors. My favourite memory of the year would be our Breast Cancer Network Australia fundraiser. I think that as a day alone was a great example of how amazing this club is, from the junior girl clinics in the morning, in the bitter cold. I remember driving and it was hailing on my drive to the ground. I was like, who is going to show up today? And they did. They showed up. We had senior women coaching, we had the girls training, and it was an amazing experience. That rolled into an amazing exhibition win by our women, and credit must go to our opposition, who appeared as a phoenix rises from the ashes, as Maidstone gave us a walkover, I think, on the Wednesday before that game. And then that rolled into what was a top of the table first versus second against South Melbourne, where we had the scored penalty, then we had that amazing save by Rory, and then we killed the game off late. But what a great day it was. The club was able to raise $35,000 for Breast Cancer Network Australia, and I found out today that we are the leading fundraiser nationwide for Pink Sports Day, which is an amazing effort.
Wow.
Considering the number two fundraiser was the entire Victorian Amateur Football Association. So, it's just amazing. Amazing the sponsors associated with the day, amazing for the members, the players, everyone associated with the day. So that was probably my highlight. But as I said, I'm probably quite biased because I had a fair bit involved in that day, but I think I'll let you guys maybe reminisce on your highlights maybe a bit later, but I think the club has got a lot to be proud of this year, and I think we can use that plus the motivation to make next year even better still.
Fantastic. Well, Sam, thank you very much for joining us on Avenger Radio. Of course, a difficult topic to discuss. Hopefully we do get back on the pitch sometime soon, whether it's the FFA Cup, the Doherty Cup, or even a gala day with the juniors involved. As you were saying, there are plans for the future. Thank you very much for jumping on Avenger Radio and giving us all the latest news, mate.
And I am still very hopeful that one day I'll receive an invite when I'm not talking about a recent lockdown or a recent recent cancellation. I'm still very open to coming here and reviewing kits. So perhaps perhaps that can be our my next appearance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, we'll have a good we'll do it. We'll talk to everyone soon.
Fantastic. Josh, we have more Avenger Radio coming up after this. We're going to be talking about our season highlights as well. So stay with us. We've got more Avenger Radio right after this break.
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Avenger Radio, coming to you live on FNR, your home of all things Avondale FC. My name is Grant, and I'm here with Josh Parrish. Josh, we were just joined by Avondale General Manager Sam Watson. He's obviously been able to give us a bit of an Avondale perspective on things. He's been able to provide us with an update, which is, of course, very, very good. And we'll watch this space and we'll see what happens with the FFA Cup and the Doherty Cup as well. But I wanted to talk to you, mate. I wanted to get your opinion on everything here. Obviously, you're part of Avenger Radio. You're part of the Avondale community, but you're also a bit of a pillar, mate, among the NPL Victoria community as well. You're involved with some other clubs through Football Nation Radio. Of course, you're a commentator. So I wanted to get your perspective on this whole situation with the season getting called off, not just from an Avondale perspective, but from the outside looking in. And mate, just give me your take. Talk me through it.
I'm not sure about pillar. I think based on my Twitter mention sometimes, I think it might be pillock. I think you might have spelled that wrong. These are my personal opinions. I mean, look, I don't speak for Avondale. I'm supposed to be the outside perspective on this show. And obviously, I've got affiliations with lots of clubs through FNR, but I just love the league first and foremost. And I'm disappointed to see it end this way. I'm not going to lie. You know, from a selfish perspective, I love doing the commentary, and having the commentary gigs cut short is truly heartbreaking for all of the commentators involved. You really, really love being involved in that capacity. And particularly, you know, guys who put so much time and effort into their preparation and so forth. The guys like Teo and Joey and Chris Gleason, who I'm sure everybody, if you're listening to this, already knows those guys, but it sucks for them. It's very disappointing personally. But as just a real fan of of the competition as a whole, and I mean all tiers of Victorian state leagues and NPL, it does frustrate me that there wasn't a plan put in place earlier for this, a contingency plan. Obviously, it's easy to say in hindsight that we should have had a plan for this, but you could see it coming quite a while away, given the lockdowns that already interrupted the season and the matches we had to play behind closed doors, that there needed to be a policy in case the season couldn't be continued. And once you've played more than half of the campaign, you've got a representative sample of where all the clubs are at. So, you know, as much as the kind of Duckworth-Lewis method is very much decried in cricket, maybe something similar could have been applied here to give the season some sort of satisfying conclusion, a points per game calculation of who would have finished where, and then you could, you know, award a premier. Maybe not a champion, because obviously the finals determine the champion in NPL Victoria. A lot of people don't agree with that system, but that's how it is. So if you can't play the finals, I don't think you can elect a champion. But in terms of the premier, maybe points per game could have been used. But the bigger issue, I would say, beyond just sort of championship bragging rights and so forth, is actually for the teams in the tiers below who were denied the chance to get promoted. And while I don't think it's particularly fair to relegate a side who hasn't played a full season, because that's such a significant blow to that club and they deserve the chance to scrape and claw for their place in the competition until the final week, for a club like Brunswick City, for example, who are well clear of their nearest challenges outside of the promotion places in NPL 2, or for clubs like Pasco Vale, for Preston and Burundara Eagles in the women's, for Preston and Doveton in the men's competition, and Western United, who are in contention as well. It's truly heartbreaking. It makes it very difficult to hold on to your players when there's another season kind of treading water in those lower competitions. When you've got the kind of caliber of squad who's challenging for promotion, those players are going to attract interest. And if you haven't gone up, it's that much harder to keep hold of them the next time round. So I think talent will continue to filter to the top division as a result. So I personally believe that in the NPL competitions, where the stakes are a bit higher and, you know, clubs have to invest in their playing groups and, you know, it is so competitive, promotion without relegation, in my opinion, should have been considered as a way to tide these clubs over. And even if it resulted in a double portion, should we say, of relegation the next time around to get the numbers back to where they were, I would have been fine with that. But it seems as if, you know, those clubs haven't really been taken into account, and they must be feeling incredibly aggrieved at the moment, incredibly disappointed, as of course is everybody at Avondale.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking quickly about promotion and relegation from an NPL senior men's point of view as well, you were talking about a larger relegation pool. We saw that happen in the NPL 2 in previous years when they realigned it to a three division system. You know, there was four teams that got relegated from NPL 2 East, four teams that got relegated from NPL 2 West. So clearly something like that, that has happened so recently, you know, could have been implemented as well. And if we're talking about promotion, you know, from an Avondale point of view, of course, our senior women's team, they were currently sitting third on the table. We got promoted last year, but of course, due to the introduction of the Victorian Premier League, the new second division in the women's football pyramid, while we got promoted, we stayed in the same tier on, you know, the football hierarchy, the football pyramid, sorry. So it's just, you know, another setback there is, you know, of course we want to try to get promoted and continue to climb up those tiers as we, you know, shoot to make the top flight. So from a very real example, from an Avondale point of view there, sorry, it's tough, and it's going to be difficult to maintain that momentum. What's going to happen next year? What's going to stop this from happening again next year? You mentioned, you know, players potentially leaving and momentum as well, lost momentum, clubs who have put in so much effort into being successful and then to have 2 years like this called off. What's going to happen to them? How do they carry on next year?
Yeah, it's very tough, and you have to basically convince players that it's not going to be like this again. And hopefully, you know, these are wider Victorian issues, but hopefully we're in a stage, you know, with vaccinations and everything, where it's unlikely we're going to go back into lockdown, and players can have some faith that the season will be seen through and it's worth playing football here in Victoria, for players that have travelled interstate and away from their family, for players that have even travelled internationally to play in this competition. You know, like, there's a lot of visa players who've really had a tough time over the past couple of years because, you know, they don't get access to the same support structures as the locals do from a governmental perspective. And the whole reason they travelled so far is moot. So that's a serious challenge. And I also think there's a certain staleness that sets in when you've got the same teams competing in the same leagues year in, year out. That's the point of difference that State League, and by state, I mean Victorian, and all the states around Australia, that actual open pyramid has up against the A-League, which of course is a much better resourced and glitzier full-time professional product. But the fact that you have the same teams year in, year out makes it fundamentally, in my opinion, less interesting than the NPL. And the NPL has essentially become the closed shop, not intentionally, but three seasons in a row, it's going to be the same teams competing, and still with Bentley somehow as the reigning champions, which I think will diminish fan interest in the competition at a time when it's really important for NPL clubs around the country to have as many people watching as possible, with the national second division still being mooted at some point.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the national second division, that's something that we haven't even touched on yet as well. Lots of clubs are trying to build towards that. Avondale is one of them. We were part of the championship group, one of the founding members of that group of teams that expressed interest into, you know, being a founding member of the national second division. Avondale is still part of that group and still working very hard towards that goal. But yeah, to have the season called off like this, I mean, it's super unfortunate, of course. At the same time, it's, you know, incredibly understandable given the situation around Victoria, around the state, around the country, around the world. I can totally understand it. But, you know, after the same thing happened last year, this year it just felt different. And again, putting my Avondale hat on, it felt different from a playing point of view. It felt like the club was just on fire across all levels. Senior men's team, I think it was, 20-odd games unbeaten, qualifying for the round of 32 of the FFA Cup, Doherty Cup final. Our senior women's team playing in a higher division as well. They knocked off, what was it, State League One side or VPL, sorry, can't remember, St. Albans.
I think it was
State One, sorry, yes. They knocked them off in the Nike FC Cup, lost to the Knights, who are in the Victorian Premier League on penalties, came so close to winning that. Our junior girls program's been able to grow. So there's been all this fantastic stuff going on at the club, and for it to come to an unfortunate and untimely end this year is, yeah, it's a bit of a bummer, mate.
It is a huge disappointment. But as I said before, like, my personal view is that there were more satisfying outcomes to end this season without another game being played. And that's just where I come down. I'm really interested to hear other people's opinions as well. And also from a sort of organizational perspective, I'm sure there are complications that I haven't considered in regards to, you know, if you did do promotion without relegation, the actual fixturing next season and how that's potentially more difficult. But also, I think as a community, we have to get more used to the idea of being able to play midweek games if we have to. And that not being a huge rigmarole to get a midweek round organised. I don't think it's the end of the world to play every 3 or 4 days when, you know, you've got really fit athletes, even if they are semi-professional, playing in these competitions.
Yeah, definitely. And Zocchi, head coach Zoran Majkowski, always says whenever we talk to him about the midweek games and the cup fixtures, he said that's why you've got a squad. You know, it's not just the same 11 players. You've got a full squad, and that's part of football. You know, you've got to bring those players in, you've got to face those challenges, and you've got to overcome them. Mate, we've been a little bit doom and gloom. It's hard not to be, you know, of course, the season getting postponed. So many good things that we mentioned before, that Sam mentioned, that you and I have discussed as well. And let's get into it, man. Let's sort of take a bit of a change here. Let's focus on some of the positives. Looking back at the year, it really has been Incredible. As we were saying just before, for our senior men's team, 20-odd games undefeated, sitting on top of the table, getting back to the national stage of the FFA Cup. That is such a huge achievement as well. We missed out on 2019. That was so disappointing. 2020, of course, the competition didn't go ahead. So to get back there, that was massive. The Doherty Cup final, you know, such a historic tournament for the first time to qualify. That was fantastic as well. We saw some great crowds at Avenger Park. Sam Watson, he mentioned, of course, the BCNA day. What a day that was. You were there. What are your memories from that game?
From BCNA Day, it was fantastic. The fact that the women's team got a chance to get on the park with the last minute shock withdrawal from the competition of their opposition, and then just put on an absolute exhibition for the huge crowd that had come to see them. That was fantastic. Just goals galore and some really stylish ones at that. And then after the kind of exhibition game, when the top of the table clash took place, just such a good atmosphere. I think the best atmosphere at Avenger Park that we've seen to date, or it's certainly up there for me, because the South fans came in numbers and did their thing as well. And obviously it had a huge home crowd. And then there was such bite and intensity and even controversy in the game. There were penalty appeals and penalties given it for both sides, and a really incredible save by Rory Bryan, which I think was the highlight of the match for me, getting to call that moment and also seeing the still image, the amazing photo that was taken afterwards of him, Rory Bryan at full stretch, stopping that penalty from Salados, which we've made the allusion a couple of times on this program, but it was as Craig Foster said on the famous 2005 broadcast, as big as we've ever seen, Branson. I'm sorry, but it is.
I'm with you. We'll have to post it on a side-by-side comparison on our social media channels as well, because you pointed out that Mark Schwarzer photo. I went and looked it up after you mentioned it, and it really is uncanny, the similarity. It's a mirror image. It's fantastic. One of my memories from that day as well, Sam mentioned it, how it was raining on the way to the field. I was driving there as well, and you know, you're just thinking, this is going to be miserable, but this is not a word of a lie. I've said it before on Avenger Radio, driving there the whole way, it was raining, got out of my car, the rain had stopped, we were opening things up, the sun came out, and not a word of a lie, mate, there was a rainbow coming up over the freeway, over near, not directly behind the Avenger Park sign on the fence that we can see behind you. That would have been too perfect, but it was near it. And then after that, it was just, you know, a fantastic day. And as Sam mentioned, to raise over $35,000 for Breast Cancer Network Australia as well, and to be the largest fundraiser this year in the entire country for a Pink Sports Day, that is a massive achievement. And it's a whole club effort. It's a football community effort to come around, get behind such a great cause, and to have such a fantastic result, mate.
Oh, 100%. It's just a highlight all around, and the stats absolutely speak for themselves. I'm trying to get this side by side up on the screen if I can, but Branson, if you just want to talk about some of your other highlights from the season, and I'll try and get the Schwarzer comparison going.
I will. Just going back again, we'll start with the senior men, and we'll of course try to get to the whole club as well. I just remember the season started off with such a bang as well. The Oakley Cannons game, you know, first game back after last season got called off. All the anticipation. We take on the Cannons. We're down 1-0. I think Oakley scored when they were down a player as well. Mm-hmm. We got one goal back late. Then Stefan Valentini scored the winner. And just what a way to start off the year. You know, the drama, the spectacle, it was absolutely fantastic. The late goals, the late drama, we were no stranger to it this year, mate. There was that opening game of the season. Another one that jumps out was the game against Dandenong Thunder, a 2-1 win in that. We've spoken about it before on Avenger Radio. Christos Theodorakopoulos scoring the winning goal, his first ever senior goal for Avondale FC. What a moment to do it. 89th minute, comes off the bench. Ball falls to him, doesn't flinch, doesn't, you know, let the moment get to him, just tucks the ball into the bottom corner. We go on and win that game. That was a great moment. I really enjoyed that. Another one, probably one of the most wild games I've seen, the Hume City game. It wasn't a victory, but it was a come from behind, 3-1 down, entering stoppage time. And even, you know, the most diehard supporters are feeling a little bit gloomy. Then you're like, oh man, two goals in what, 4 or 5 minutes of stoppage time. It was wet. It was windy that day. It was hard to see how it was going to come. It was Rory Bryan, funnily enough, the goalkeeper, who sort of sprung the comeback with two near identical goals, two massive long balls. Zoc and Avondale always like to play proper football, he likes to say, you know, play out from the back, build up, great passes, overloads, all that sort of stuff. Rory Bryan says, nah, throw that in the bin, it's not worked. I'm going the long ball, bombs it, bounces in front of the defender, over the top, Stefan Zinni there to run onto it. He's got then Chip Michael Weir, sorry, for the first one. And you go, that's fantastic. We've got one back. Can we do it again? And it turns out we could, mate. 50 seconds later, there or thereabouts, an almost identical thing. Another long ball, another bounce over the top. Stefan Zinni's shot was saved, but Brandon Lunny was right there with his non-preferred left foot, first time, tuck the ball home as well, if you don't mind. Those are three games that stand out to me. The other ones, of course, the cup games. The final FFA Cup qualifier, the win over Pasco Vale to reach the round of 32. That's, you know, just such a big achievement. It's a goal for every club in the top flight of NPL Victoria. We've seen the FFA Cup. We've seen the drama and the spectacle, and it's just such a fantastic showcase event, you know, getting NPL clubs playing off against other teams that they have never faced from around the country, getting A-League clubs in there as well. It's a fantastic opportunity to perform on the big stage. So to be back there, and then, of course, that emphatic win over Port Melbourne. Like, that was just, as far as wins go, again, I think we're up 1-0. I think Port equalised just before halftime. Halftime, I'm like, oh, no, momentum shift, a little bit worried. Second half, needn't have worried. Came out, blew them out of the water.
5-1. It was like a Fast and Furious film, Branson. It's neck and neck until someone applies the, you know, switches on the NOS and then get away at hyperspeed.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the other things that's great is being part of the media team. Through most of these goals, if you go back and watch the highlights, you can often hear someone yelling quite near the camera. That's generally me. It doesn't sound good.
Yeah, Branson doesn't commentate, but somehow makes his way onto the highlights regardless.
Unintentionally, I did get a text message during the Port Melbourne game to be a little bit less enthusiastic with the celebrations.
No crowd there to cover you.
Yeah. I'm like, how can you not, guys? We're in the Doherty Cup final for the first time. But yeah, those are some of the big highlights that stand out for me, mate. Anything that I've missed?
Well, I've just managed to get the Schwarzer-Rory Bryan comparison up on the screen now. And for anyone who thinks I was exaggerating, I think the pictures absolutely speak for themselves.
Geez. It really is uncanny. For those listening to us on the podcast or through the FNR app, we will post it on our social media in the coming days as well. But absolute mirror images. It's amazing, Josh.
It's incredible. And in terms of other highlights, I guess mine is more of a general theme about the senior men's team, and that is the maturity this season that the players have shown, and the kind of, and it's a cliche, but the never say die spirit. Has really, it's come along leaps and bounds. I think there's been a case in the past to make for the players maybe not bringing their best in the absolute high pressure moments and not playing to their potential. And that's a tag that, you know, these players have had to shake off. And I think this is partially down to Zocchi's leadership, but also the players themselves growing as leaders, because now there is empirical evidence that Avondale does their best work in the clutch, in the big moments. You know, the highest score is in the last 15 minutes of games in the competition by quite a margin. That goes to show that when the chips are down, this group of players can actually perform. And it's, you know, basically shedding an unwanted reputation and embracing, you know, the entirely different side of the spectrum on that front as actual closers as opposed to chokers.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a difficult monkey to have on your back, I guess, to say, for lack of a better term. It's something that just sort of has
loomed over.
It's
a tag that sticks regardless of accuracy.
Yeah,
I don't think it's accurate at all anymore.
No, exactly.
That's what also hurts about the season being cut short and the opportunity to actually win silverware and put the doubters to bed once and for all, because this club and this group of players has shown time and time again this season that they can actually step it up in the big moments. And that's been the most encouraging thing for me as an outside observer to watch this team grow this year.
Absolutely. I mean, I said it before, this year felt different. It felt like our destiny, like it was something in the water. Absolutely. Like, you know, 2019, you know, you just got nervous. You could feel it, you know, the pressure, the expectation as well, you know, that tag, as you mentioned. But this year, it just seemed like that was all gone. The shackles were off. We were playing fantastic football. The confidence was there. And, you know, the club had to face its own challenges from the senior men's team. This is a different side to what we saw in 2019. Different game plan, you know. Liam Boland won the Golden Boot in 2019, playing a much different role in 2021. Stefan Valentini stepping up in a new role for himself as well. Joey Katavian, who we know primarily as a goal scorer, a striker, a winger, playing more as a midfielder. Yute Towns being fantastic as well. Rory Bryan stepping up into that number one role. I mean, the moments, there's lots of them, but it was just fantastic.
And I think that's really reflective of some of the conversations I've had with Zocchi after games. I mean, he always, if I'm there, always comes up to me and asks for my thoughts, and I'm like, well, you're the coach, you tell me. But but you know, that's the kind of killer instinct that he's been trying to instill in throughout his time in charge, as well as building, you know, a team that can play scintillating football, which has been the case for pretty much all of his tenure. So I'm really pleased to see that coming to fruition, and hopefully we'll get a chance to win some silverware with the Doherty Cup final being a chance to be played.
Absolutely. And it's not just the hard work of Zoran Mikovski as well. It's the whole coaching staff, Andy Vargas, Jeff Fleming, the medical crew, everyone who does such a fantastic job to help the senior men's team succeed. But Josh, I mean, mate, it's not just the senior men's team had fantastic seasons. The senior women's team, again, have been phenomenal. There was a lot of pressure on them as well coming into this season. 2019, undefeated. They won every single game. I think it was 17 games undefeated from round one all the way up to the grand final. Didn't lose a single one, even in the grand final, a 1-0 victory over Port Melbourne. A fantastic achievement, a fantastic year. Coming into this season, to have to try to back that up, that is a lot of pressure. That's a lot of expectation. New coach, some new players coming through as well.
A lot of new
players
to gel and bed in this season.
Yep, some injuries as well that we had to overcome. Sophia Iosifidis, of course, the captain. She had a season-ending injury fairly early on. Oh, sorry, maybe not fairly early on, but, you know, midway through.
Midway, yeah.
I don't know what to call the campaign length now. Sorry, I was going to say early on, then I was going to say midway. I'm like, I don't know
time
anymore.
Time is very difficult to keep track of these days, Branson.
It is. You could just see me not panicking, but going through the different progressions in my head. I'm like, that's not right. That's not right. That's not right. Anyway, Captain Sophia Iosifidis, she suffered a serious injury and she was out. And the senior women's team, they did a fantastic job. And I think the Nike FC Cup was a great showcase of that. You know, you look at the table for State League 3. We mentioned it before, how we got promoted from State League 4, however, remained in the same slot on the pyramid. We're still facing some new teams in there, some strong opposition. North Geelong Warriors, they had a fantastic season. They were on top of the table the whole way through. They didn't lose a single game. But Ballarat SC, a team we hadn't played before, we were neck and neck with them. We'd had one good encounter. It was a draw. We were due to face them again soon. That would have been a grand encounter to see who would have gone second on the table. So to be able to take that step up in a new division to, you know, thrive under that kind of pressure, still be competitive, I think they deserve a massive, massive amount of credit for the season they had. And the Nike FC Cup, that was phenomenal. That win over St. Albans, I was working, I couldn't be there, but I was getting text updates from about three different people that were coming through thick and fast in a flurry. The killer was they all stopped at the same time. There was like, because the game went to extra time. And
suddenly no one wanted to text you anymore. Suddenly, oh, exactly. Everyone was only watching the game.
Well, but then it's hard to tell. Is that because something's gone catastrophically wrong? Have we conceded?
No news is actually bad news in that situation. So,
well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, they're like, oh, you know, I was getting minute mark updates, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, the game should be over by here. Why hasn't anyone told me the results? So, but yeah, to come out and beat St. Albans, a State League One side for a newly promoted State League Three side, that was just a fantastic moment. And then also, of course, the Melbourne Knights game, nil all after full time, nil all after extra time, had a penalty attempt to win it. Unfortunately, that was saved. Unfortunately, the Knights got over the line in the end as well. But that was still an incredible run.
Amazing.
And again, a tough team in the Melbourne Knights who play in the VPL, the second division, who have ambitions of being promoted into the NPL, the top flight of the women's competition. And we were right there with them and literally inches away from knocking them out and winning.
Yes, and I think it's important to note, just for context, is that there's very few giant killings in the Nike Cup.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure it's accurate to say that a MPLW side is yet to lose to a team from a lower division still, in the short history of the competition so far. And again, that sort of pattern usually holds. The pyramid usually doesn't lie when it comes to women's football in Victoria. And to knock off State League One side and then take be one kick away from knocking off the Knights is incredible. And I think that shows the progress of the whole club as well, because it's definitely a one club approach these days. And it was just so great to see them back to the BCNA day again. But just so great to see both teams play in a double header. I hope the club is able to do more of that sort of stuff in future.
Absolutely. And again, it's super unfortunate, but I know that we had a couple of doubleheaders coming up. You know, they were planned.
Actually,
they were in the works. We had a couple of president's lunch. Almost triple headers. I think the senior women's were going to play the early game. The senior men's were going to play the late game. There was going to be president's lunches as well. It was going to be fantastic. And unfortunately, of course, you know, that didn't get to go ahead.
Well, Branson, I think that's about all we've got time for, but thank you for your company over the course of this season. This will be our last episode for a while, but we've still got some surprises planned.
We do indeed. The big thing that we're going to be launching on our social media channels this week is a bracket tournament, a competition to select the best goal in the recent era of Avondale. All the goals that we have highlights for, mate. We spent the day going back through, watching some highlights of some old games. There were some absolutely crackers, some great moments too, watching the highlights from 2016 as well, seeing the Avenger, you know, the mascot, the long-lost Avenger. I haven't seen him in ages. Saw him in a highlight package. I was like, wow, you know, so maybe the Avenger will make a return in 2022, but the bracket will be there and we will be relying on the Avondale community to pick their favorite Avondale goal. There's some crackers, mate. Some from this year. I don't know how many times we mentioned Stefan Valentini's banger on against Dandenong City on Avenger Radio this year. We're going to mention it again. That's going to be in there, but how far will it go? Are there any goals that leap out to you?
Yeah, just looking back through the highlights today, there was one goal by, of course, Liam Boland, who's going to feature pretty heavily in this bracket, I would imagine. And it was against the Knights in, I think, around 23 in 2018, where he took the ball down about 30 metres out and on the half volley just smashed it over the goalkeeper's head and into the top corner to open the scoring. That was probably the best one that I managed to uncover trawling through the highlights, but there's plenty to choose from, and I think it's going to make a compelling. It's a good sample size to have about what, five seasons worth of highlights.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, Liam Boland and balls over the head, his big chip from halfway against South Melbourne. I have a sneaking suspicion that will make its way into the bracket too.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, that was almost the Boland redux from his famous Green Gully FFA Cup heroics.
Yeah, well,
it's kind of cool that he's done it twice, because
yeah, shown it's
the first
not a fluke.
One wasn't a fluke.
Exactly.
That, again, that still probably stands as the best goal ever scored at Lakeside.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh, so that bracket is coming up as well. You mentioned that this is going to be possibly the last Avenger Radio episode for a while. We will try to be back in a fortnight, in a fortnight's time. There we go. Got it out on the tip of my tongue. We will try to be back in a fortnight's time with any updates, any news on what's happening with the FFA Cup, the Doherty Cup, anything like that as well. Mm-hmm. We are hoping that we'll have FFA Cup games and Doherty Cup games around the corner. If we do, we'll have Avenger Radio episodes in the lead up and following up with that as well. We just have to wait and see what happens there, mate. We'll hopefully as well be able to do a couple of small feature mini Avenger Radio episodes throughout the off season as well to showcase some of the great events and some of the stuff that's coming up as well. But mate, we'll see you in a fortnight, I guess. Unfortunately, the season has been cancelled, and once again, the club would just like to issue a big thank you to everyone in the Avondale community. Of course, this is unfortunate news. It isn't the news that anyone within the club was hoping for. We do want to thank everyone, and we mean absolutely everyone involved, all the coaches, all the players, all the parents, all the medical staff, all the volunteers, everyone who's involved with the club who put in so much effort into this season. We've recapped some of the big moments, some of the big days. It really couldn't be achieved without a full club effort. And yeah, it's a fantastic club. So we just want to say a massive thank you for everyone for making 2021 a fantastic season. We hope everyone stays safe. We hope that everyone is doing well in lockdown. Hopefully we'll be out of it soon and we'll see you back at Avenger Park sometime soon. But Josh, I'll see you hopefully in a fortnight, mate. Thanks again for joining me on this episode of Avenger Radio.
Pleasure as always, Branson.
Thanks very much, Josh. And thank you again to the Avondale community. We will see you soon.
Avenger Radio on FNR. Football Nation Radio.